Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, and this is the Diva Discussions series. And I am honored and smiling and happy to have Latina of Influence 2020, founder of the Mastery of Miracles, serial entrepreneur, educational psychologist, author, mother, and just absolute diva sweetheart, Hazel Ortega here. Hazel, how are you?
Doing fantastic. Great to be here.
Oh my goodness. So I think you and I feel like there's a spirit of the show must go on. I've had this happen before when I'm about to connect with someone with such loving energy. You and I had some tech glitches, but now we're here. So happy Saturday. Thanks for joining me.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I want to let you know, I wanted to give a shout out. I always like to start with gratitude. I say gratitude's my secret sauce. And I want to thank Trent Clark. He organized this amazing event. It was actually my first time going out in 2022. And I got to meet you. And I want to say, when I met you energetically before we even got to speak, I really felt your pure loving energy. And I just want to say, I'm just grateful for that. And thank you, Trent.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I'm grateful for him too.
How long have you guys, can you want to tell a little bit about like how you know him? Cause I think it kind of like, it's part of the story of like who you are.
Yeah, of course. So I belong to an organization of entrepreneurs. It's a global organization with about 15,000 members, and has its weight in gold in the sense of resources. Trent came to town to LA, and he looked for people to meet up with him, and I showed up. And we've been in touch ever since, and when he comes into town, most of the time we meet up after that. He's read my book, and he also invited me on his podcast. And he just inspired me so much in different ways. I shared with him my pushy angel concept that I came up with, and he loved it. And because he believed in it and loved it, now I'm taking that and taking it to a whole nother level, like adding it to Wikipedia and things like that. Where
I'm
before I
chills.
Thought it was
I'm getting lightning bolt chills. Can you say that? Let's give it. Is it called pushy? Tell us what that is. Tell me all about this.
So it's like a mentor, right? A mentor or somebody that's telling you that you should do something. Most of the time we think of those people as being pushy and you don't like them because you don't, you know, of course what they're telling you makes you feel uncomfortable. And so, it has like a negative connotation. Like if it's your mom, if it's your husband or your wife or your, you know, people that care about you, they tell you like, you should be healthy. You should go back to school. You could, you know, do anything and you don't like that. Sometimes we feel uncomfortable. So mm-hmm. I call that, they're pushy angels.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we feel like pushy is like a word, like it's wrong. But if you look at these people and what the message they're conveying is only something that's good for you. You're only up against it because you feel challenged. Like you can't.
I want to just honor, like, I'm just going to say this. Pushy angel. And one of the things that I'm passionate about is the power of words, thoughts, and actions, how the words carry a vibrational frequency. So not only as an integrative psychiatrist, but as a producer, just paying attention. And I know that what you're talking about is breaking down. What does that really mean? And I'm hearing like it's a cognitive reframing, like the gratitude for having someone that like sees your greatness.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But then, you know, we have this itty bitty shitty machine inside that says you're not that, you can't do that, and don't do that. And so then you're up against it. And it feels like people are being pushy when in reality, you can reframe that and see that they're pushy angels. And it's for your own good.
Oh my God. So who's your pushy angel squad? Tell us about your pushy angels.
So for that, I'd have to start from the beginning. I want to tell you, Denise, I grew
up
poor.
I would love it.
I have great success now. And people tell me, you know, you grew up poor. Your parents were both in and out of prison. You didn't have a high school diploma until you were 30 years old. Education was never something that was ingrained as a value to you. And on top of that, I had friends that were killed in gang-related activity, crime-related activity. My family had drug abuse, physical abuse, a lot of trauma as a kid. So people tell me, wow, if you could do this, if you could become successful, anybody can do it. And I tell them, well, that's true. However, I had a certain set of circumstances where I had these pushy angels along the way that showed up in my life and paid attention to me and told me, you should do this, you should do this, you could do this. And because of them, I saw something in myself that I couldn't see for myself. They pointed it out to me. Like my first pushy angel was a judge that I worked for when I was 17 years old. I was in a program for at-risk youth where they placed us in jobs so that we could be off the streets and not causing problems. And at that job, they placed me at the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board, where injured workers can go to litigate their cases and get their benefits awarded to them by a judge. Wow. And I was placed with a judge who asked me, what am I going to do? What college am I going to after high school? And I told her, I'm not going to college. As a matter of fact, I'm not even graduating high school. And she told me, what? No, okay, you could think about college later, but you absolutely must consider graduating high school. It says a lot about a person that graduates that high school and that completes something.
Do you know her first name?
Yeah, Barbara.
Barbara, Judge Barbara. I want you to keep going, but I know I'm also just getting to know you and my sensory experience. This is an audio only, but we're multisensory beings. And right when I said, can we hear about your pushy angels? My entire body, my arms, my legs, my stomach, like felt chills. And so everyone, we all have different sensory experiences. So I just want to, in this moment, as you're telling the story, I'm holding deep reverence and sacred energy for Judge Barbara and everyone you're about to talk about, because I felt all the energy of love of your pushy angel story. So now I want to keep letting you go, but I just want you to know how touched and inspired I am right now.
Oh, so sweet. Yes. And thank
you
for
me. It's like they're all here. Like I'm feeling all of this energy of love, Hazel. So I'm putting my hand on my heart and I'm going to give myself what I call a shush. Shh, Denise, let her talk now. Okay. But I'm this excited. So I just want you to know my experience. I'm like, holy moly caroli. Okay. Keep going.
Thank you. Thank you for all those feelings. I appreciate that. Yes. And she deserves it. She's a special lady. And I went back to my school counselor and I said, I want to graduate. And he went and talked to all my teachers and said, Hazel wants to graduate. Let's help her. And I made up a bunch of credits and I almost did graduate. I was short just one class. And that class, that teacher, she told me, you can't come into my classroom after being gone for a year and think you're going to pass. Even though I did all the work, I made up all the missing assignments and she didn't pass me.
What? So
yeah. and that's fine. I mean, it all works out. It all divine timing, right? So I didn't graduate high school.
Yeah, but I want to validate and acknowledge that, because this is one of those what moments. And I like the power of words, and I like when we're in integrity. So I just want to go back to that young, I know everything's in divine timing, but you literally had this energy of momentum. You had this amazing judge that believed in you, this counselor. You had everyone believing in you. And it was this one situation. And I know that that's probably even gave you more energy for later, but there's like in integrity. And I feel like maybe that individual, without even naming their name, was in what I call an ego. And maybe not having the grace, not having that ability to have ascension, have flexibility, have hope, have resiliency. So I'm going back at that time because I believe time's timeless. And I'm just sending you the power of Hazel at that age and all the love. So I'm going to keep letting you go. But that person is, you know, we all have people like that, that are like, we don't say roadblocks, or they use the word toxic, but I came up with a new term when I was talking to a friend today, in ego. So that person wasn't in like an abundance mindset. So, okay, no. Right? They were just in ego. That was just not okay. So Dr. Denise says that is not okay. Like if you have someone like a Hazel or anyone out there that works for you, that's doing everything they can, you need to have adaptive flexibility. It's very important to have a better life. You're getting in the way of your own happiness if you're blocking someone else's happiness, I believe.
Yes, yes. And you know what? I still remember her name to this day. I forgot all my other teachers' names and I know her name. What I'll say, and you're absolutely right, Denise, like, you know, but one thing that I hear a lot is people say, that's not fair. It's not fair to all the other kids that were here all day long and you come out of nowhere and think you're going to pass the class. It's not fair to everybody else. Well, life is not fair, right? Life is not fair. It's not fair that I had parents that were in prison. It's not fair that my cousin was killed that semester, right? It's not fair that my parents got a divorce. That's not fair either, right? And so here I was like trying to do all these things, and this lady said it wasn't fair to all the other kids. So I think that we need to just stop saying that kind of conversation about things not being fair and have compassion.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Compassion and unconditional love. Like she really withheld love. She was like, you were not here all year. I don't love you. I'm not going to show you love. I'm not going to show you compassion. I'm not going to help you. And it backfired on her, right? Because I still went on to go on my path. But what about her? Like, you know, she missed out on an opportunity to feel really good about herself, that she did something really good, really great.
Yes. And even see the way we're going to keep hearing your story, but it's really important that people know that some people are just, they're more from a place of fear. They're from a place of rule following. And I have a term called neurostyle, that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And the fabulous five, biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual, then the sixth sense, intuition. So that individual, and we all run across people like this that have this rigidity, and then they have their own unique neurostyle that, you know, if you are looking in the universe, having adaptive flexibility and looking at your unique, beautiful Hazel story of you had trauma, but you have a beautiful story of resiliency. And if they just weren't ready to accept like your success, their own neurostyle couldn't be that happy. So we know we're all part of one humanity. So I just want to lift up. I hope that individual found more flexibility and compassion and hope at some point in their life. But now I'll let you keep going, because we all run across people that are like this, the in egos or in fear or lacking compassion. And then I try to use, I don't know if you do this, I try to use, sometimes I call it a spiritual chokehold. Where someone's really done something to me that's like, oh boy, oh boy. And my definition of a spiritual chokehold, when I do have that anger or upset, is I imagine my arm like using the force. And I have I'm not going to say their name, but someone is in this place. And I literally like imagine me lifting them up and then turning their face around, and then they're just stuck in wrap paper because I don't want them to be in my existence. So I just do these positive things so you don't act on it, but you empower yourself and you just let it go, because there's going to be people like that that don't want us to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah, people have their own thing they bring with them and shit on other people.
Exactly. So let's move on. So we'll just move on. But I want to compliment you for your resiliency and also thank all the people, Judge Barbara, and then the counselor, and then also your spirit during that time. And what was your cousin's name that was killed?
David.
David, I want to just do a mindful pause. In fact, I'm getting chills just thanking him for watching over you, because I believe he's probably a pushy angel. And in the other realms for you.
Oh, thank you.
Right? Shout out to like the memory of him. Like we can call upon that energy of our ancestors, right?
Yes.
I'm getting chills. Yay. Pushy Angel David. Okay, keep going. I hope that was okay. Was that too much?
No, not at all. I feel great that you did that.
Okay. Mwah. Okay, keep going. I'm going to shush myself. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and
David, I'm hand on my heart.
Aww.
Hand on my heart. And this is my hand on my heart for anyone that's lost anyone to crime or violence or poverty. Hand on my heart. Shout out to all you mothers and relatives in the entire universe that's ever had that kind of suffering. So much love to all of you.
Yes. So that particular judge who told me to go back to school, I had to do all the legwork. There was also a counselor at school that I had the entire time I was there. And I didn't know, but, you know, after high school, I decided to go back to school later in my late 20s. I went, then when I actually got my high school, I earned my high school diploma. I called my high school and I said, okay, I'd like to come by and pick up my diploma. I have proof that I've taken these classes that were missing, the class that was missing. And then I went, they were like, okay, when are you coming? And I said, I'll come on Friday. And they were like, what time? And I told them, you know, in the afternoon. And when I went, picture this, Denise, 10 people came out from the back office with a big sign that said congratulations and balloons.
Oh my gosh.
More than 10 years since I have been on campus.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And oh my when gosh. They gave me my high school diploma and they told me my counselor was no longer there at the campus anymore, but they told me that he kept my diploma in his drawer and that he said, I know that she's going to come back for it.
Oh my God. The spirit of inspiration, the spirit of people believing you, the spirit of love. Love wins. Love wins, right? Oh my gosh. What a beautiful, and do you have a, I would love to see a picture of that day if you have it. I don't know if you do because we don't know. Yeah. What would have been amazing to capture.
I didn't know that was going to happen. And it was, you know, way back. It was 20 years ago before I had, you know, technology today.
Yeah. And wow. One thing that well, I congratulations. That was amazing moment. We're going to hear totally. Many more of your moments, but that was like that. Like I think about the energy of you mastering. It's literally like we all have what I call time epochs. These like magical, there are no coincidences, serial coincidences. And to me, you going in and getting that and all that celebration, it's like a huge healing of like all those years. And it's like a kiss on the cheek from the universe or God, like way to go, Hazel.
Yeah. Well, so then I found out that this particular counselor at 30 years old, I found out that that counselor that I had the entire time I was in high school was a truancy counselor.
Oh, wow.
Yes, he was a truancy counselor.
What was his first name?
You know what? I forget right now. I think this is the first time in a long time that I have a thought about him. So I don't remember his name.
Okay, but he's another pushy moment. Angel. Yay, him.
Yes. He was, yes. And he went to every teacher to tell them to help me to pass my classes. So here I am. So I, at 30 years old, I got my high school diploma. I had another pushy angel when I was applying for a job at a prestigious law firm. When I was interviewed, the attorney asked me, "You're in college, right?" And I wasn't in college. I didn't even have my high school diploma when he interviewed me. And I said, yes, right? You know, my dad always told me, fake it till you make it. So I got this job and I started working there. I was about 26 years old and I was married. I had 3 kids. So it was like the kind of job that set you up, right? And had benefits and it was a union job. And I wanted that job so badly and I got the job. And when I started working, the attorney asked me what classes I was in. And so I told them we were on summer break right now. And then I knew I had to register for classes and I went to college and I registered for classes, even though I didn't have a high school diploma. And then shortly after that, he asked me, what are you learning in your classes? And I was very frustrated with that because like, I thought all I had to do was register and he would be off my back. And now he was asking me what I was learning. And I'm like, oh my God, now I have to pay attention in the classes. You know, and
I'm actually getting a deep breath for you. I'm going back to that time and like walking on eggshells and thinking, okay, I'm a mother. I want to support my children. I want to be in integrity because I know that like, I'm feeling that this is a big part of your soul that you wanted your words, thoughts, and actions to match up. So when he was asking those questions, it was like a little nudge from the universe and yourself going, okay, you've got to do this. you got to be studying, you've got to be learning. You, it was for yourself, I'm getting. Is that right? Like this feeling like I need to honor myself?
Yes, yes. Well, he kept coming around. And then when I finally was going to get my AA degree,
mm-hmm.
he told me, what are you going to do next? And I told Ooh. Him, oh, no, I'm good. I just wanted to be a well-rounded person. Mm-hmm. And I can see myself working for you for the rest of my life. Hmm. And he told me, what? No, you're going to be a professional. He told me, think about what you want to do. And I went home and I was like so upset with my husband. And I said, I can't believe it. Now he's telling me I have to go back, get a higher education. I thought I was done. And then after that, he came back and he told me, Hazel, my wife is a teacher. And she says there's a great need for bilingual school psychologists. That's what you should do. You should be a bilingual school psychologist.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so, I want to tell you something. So, because we're getting to know each other. So, I'm an adult and child integrative psychiatrist, but I've also worked at like residential treatment facilities. I've worked at maximum security prisons. I've also had some like later in life lessons with people threatening my life and just fraud. And I just like accept and love the whole journey for all of us. But I'm feeling that if your parents weren't able to be the pushy angels for you, I'm getting that there's been such healing in like Judge Barbara, this counselor, and now this amazing individual that believed in you. So you were like healing, like, you know how even though you were 26 or 27 and had your own children, I feel like we all have our own inner child. So I'm feeling like your own ascension as someone else just keeps believing in you again. Like, oh my goodness, like live limitless, beautiful Hazel. Like all these people saw your light. They're like, you're not stopping there.
Yeah, exactly. And this person came to my each graduation, my AA degree, my bachelor's degree, and then my master's degree. He was there at each and every one of them.
Wow.
Yeah, he was quite remarkable. He's still in my life, and he's one of my clients, still supporting me, and I'm eternally grateful to him. He's definitely one of my pushy angels.
Well, and I also want to honor, yay, shout out, I love pushy angels, but I also just like want to honor kinship family. That there's people that we meet in our life that become our family and part of our soul. And sometimes the way we think of a nuclear family, or if we've had trauma, or if our parents couldn't be there for us, there's at any given point in our life, we can have this miracle of another human being believing in us. And it's like a soul family that's like part of a momentum that's like their jewels.
Yes, yes. And so one of the things I talk about now is becoming a pushy angel. Like for us, we need to become pushy angels. Like so many of society are being very careful with their kids, being very careful not to push people, you know? And it's like, no, we got to be pushy angels. Think of yourselves as pushy angels. Like tell people that are doing a good job at their job that they're doing a great job and acknowledge them and see something great in other people. It makes them feel good about themselves. And you never know, they could believe in themselves in ways that they didn't know that they could.
Yeah, I'm just getting inspiration, in spirit, inspire. When individuals thrive, we all thrive. Like stopping, saying thank you, good job. Like every little, anytime someone believed in you, I felt like the spark. I was feeling like the sparks of like, oh my God, I could be an educational psychologist. What if? It was like light bulb went on. With all the different nudges you were getting.
Yes, totally. And I'm very grateful. So, you know, for me, whenever anybody does anything, I'm like, you're the best. I tell people, you're the best. When somebody helps me out, even if it is their job, I tell them you're the best. Whatever I can do to make somebody feel better about themselves that day, I take advantage of that and I do that. So that was that particular person. He was my pushing angel. Going forward, my business coach, she told me to become a millionaire, and I didn't want to. And I told her I didn't want to. And she was asking me why. And I told her, I don't want to be a millionaire. Well, actually, I do want to be a millionaire, but I don't want to do what it takes. And then she's like, you know what? I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to give you this new password to the program that I'm creating to make my clients pass the $1 million mark. And I want you to be the first one to do that. And she, my password to her program was success one. That means I became like the first one to become a millionaire. And out of her group, I was the first one that became a millionaire.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, yes. And it was very, like, in my mind, I was resisting. I told her I didn't want to do that. I was very confronted and pushing it away. And I didn't like her for doing that. And it's so interesting. And now I just love her and support her in any which way I can. Now I've reached other levels, and different coaches are needed at different levels of what I'm up to. But I always support her for any women making under $1 million, because that's what you need. And that's what she did. She saw something for me that I couldn't see for myself. And she was another pushy angel. I didn't want to. I told her, no, 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 no.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, so, yes. So I'm getting this energy and the momentum, and there's so many dimensions as to who you are. Can you go do a deep dive in one of your angel missions of helping injured workers, and just like, or whatever you want to share, because there's so many things you're doing and have done. Is there anything that you want to share that's like kind of like a microcosm of all the joy that you get from like everything you've learned along the way?
Yeah, well, the joy that I get, I know my why, right? My why is to improve the quality of people's lives. So if you come, anybody that crosses my path, it's like my mission that you leave better, feeling about yourself better, better in multiple ways than before. And then that I'm also impacting the world and improving people's lives, whether they know who I am or not. Like, that is my mission, and that's what I stand for. And that's what my business is all about. And that's what I invest in. If I come with the opportunity to do something, if it's not improving the quality of people's life, I don't invest in that. It's a really good boundary for me that I know to say no to things. Otherwise, like, everything comes in. So
I just want to like really do a pause. This is like one of those, like when you're a little kid and you hear stop, drop, and roll. It's like, it's like a chicken. It's a nugget. It's a pearl, right? And yes. So what you just said to everyone is to know their why. And I remember someone asking me, that was like, we were filming, and they asked me what I wanted to do with monetization. And I said, well, I only want to be involved in any project or anything that involves healing, helping others to reach their highest level, or myself, but it has to be on the healing angle. It has to be a higher level thinking core value. And so I just want to honor that that's what you're here. You want to like inspire others, and you want them to be their best. And you know that when you're winning, they're winning. Like, you know that when individuals thrive, we all thrive. So that's a big part of the energy that you show up in. I think when people sometimes hear, oh, quantum healing, quantum, because I like to bridge science and spirituality and health, and I believe you do too. Mm-hmm. And I want to give you a big compliment, because when I first met you at Rockin' Brews, one of the things I was so excited to hear is that you, during the pandemic, really always are keeping like investment in your own growth and your growth mindset and spirituality. And can you just tell everyone a little bit about not only finding your why, but what you do with some of the retreats you've attended to help you stay on that path?
Yeah. So I told you about the why, right? And so for me, I want to change the world through education. I want to end suffering in the world through education. And that's my, you know, part of the platform that I have. Education for me changed everything. And it wasn't necessarily the formal education. You know, I became a psychologist at 36, and I was still having a life that didn't work. It wasn't until I went into personal development and took a look at my life and worked on my life and the areas that didn't work that my life started to change. So I was a 36-year-old psychologist fist fighting with my sister, who was a police officer. And
wow.
Yeah, we were really messed up and we didn't know how to get out of this violence cycle. And we were gossiping about each other. I have four sisters and two brothers. There's seven of us. And we grew up with a lot of trauma. And so it's a cycle of violence and it just repeats itself. And at our family parties, the next generation of our children, they were also fist fighting and police being called at our family parties when we're already adults. Now our kids are fighting. So I saw that and just wanted to have something different for my daughter. And I went to personal development and I found out that there's ways to change the behaviors that I had. And I saw blind spots that I didn't know I had. And then I keep on going. I keep on working on myself. So most recently, I've been attending Dr. Joe Dispenza retreats. They are meditation retreats. You meditate 6 to 8 hours a day at his retreats. Before I went a year ago, I could tell you that I thought I could not meditate, that I didn't know how to do it. And because I thought that it was just one modality of meditating. And now that I've seen Dr. Joe's way of meditating, I like it. And it's the most effective way. And I've got profound value out of that. And my life, which you would think could not get any better, actually has gotten so much better. The quality of life, the way I feel about myself, the way I feel about other people, the way I feel about pets, plants, blades of grass, the sun, the clouds, like everything. I'm just like so in love. I'm a big heart right now. And I didn't know.
Can I tell you why I'm smiling so much? Because I want to invite you over or have time. I call it laps of love when I'm in the pool. And I spend so much of my time meditating by being in nature. And I'm just feeling that connection with you. Like words can't even describe what it feels like. I'm there. Like I know you're here, but I'm feeling the essence of what's been turned on. Like where you, because I actually look at the trees before I swim and I'm like thanking my higher power. And then all of a sudden I just start swimming and I lose myself. And it's like the deepest meditation. And that's why I'm always there, because it's like, I don't know about you, but sometimes life becomes the meditation when you start being in the moment of now.
Yes, most definitely. You can be meditating with your eyes open.
Yes.
Being present, for sure. 100%. And so I keep going to these retreats. And if ever I feel like life, I notice that I'm being maybe crabby or maybe I wasn't as nice as I could be, like I'm complaining, I can look at my life and notice that I'm not practicing my gratitude. I'm not practicing my meditation. Like there's something off. And then I start doing it again. And then I go back to having this wonderful life. So definitely this is something for the rest of my life. I'm going to be learning and growing and improving every day. That's my motto for myself.
There's so much to cover. I'm wondering if there's a... I'm thinking about you at this moment in time. And then I'm thinking about you as younger Hazel. And it sounds like you've given some of the nuggets about self-growth. Like, I feel like there's been crucial times where when you were at this family fight, I actually pictured like a meme of you and your sister, like going at it. And then this is like kind of the vision board. I know you and I talked about creativity when we met, but I always like to talk about going from crisis to stabilization, to thrive. I talked about this in India when I spoke at the Dalai Lama's Body and Mind Life Conference. I talk about bridging linear and nonlinear, Newtonian physics and quantum. And it seems like you've accessed, sometimes people hear these words like, oh, that's super geeky, here she goes. But you've been giving specific examples. If I look at that time when you and your sister were fighting, like we all know when there's fighting, when in anything we do, there's energy of anger, fear, and we can use that momentum of energy if we look at ourselves like you did. And you said, we can do better. I can do better. We can break this cycle. And then what gives me hope hearing your story is that you looked at family of origin, family dynamics. You got educated, but then you did the work. You didn't just do the work, which I want to talk about some of the linear successes, but you did the deeper spiritual work of using the energy of sadness, the energy of trauma, and realizing everything's energy. And once we realize that and we get out of our own way and learn how to be in the moment and now, but then put concrete, specific, sometimes people just say, oh, the law of attraction, the secret, but they don't know how to couple that energy of desire with the hard work. And I feel like you've been able to do that and you continue to do that. Do you want to comment on any of that?
The energy of desire. I do want to share with you that, you know, what happened, what was like my moment, that I actually got desire, right? That I knew that I wanted something. I didn't know that I never dream until I was 36 years old and somebody asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And my first reaction was to say, well, I'll be 5 years older. And I'll have a cost of living increase at my job, and I'll still be living at the same house, and the kids will be 5 years older. Like, there's no reason why life would look any different than it did in that moment. And that moment was when I was bouncing checks, I was fist fighting with my sisters, I was already divorced, I was having a life that didn't work, a lot of upset, a lot of struggle. And I thought it was just the way it is. Like, I was destined for a life of struggle, destined for a life of poverty. And there was no inkling that I can get out of that.
Can this is a really good time. I have your book right in front of me, From Bounce Checks to Private Jets. And when I pick up people's books, sometimes I use it like angel cards. I just turn to a page. And so I did this yesterday. And right when you're talking, can I just read what you said in this page? This is page 98 yeah. of Hazel Ortega's number one bestseller, From Bounce Checks to Private Jets and The Mastery of Miracles. It says, once you've busted one story you've been telling yourself that's been holding you back, you will begin to see more. You will begin to see the stories of other people. One sure way to determine whether a story is holding you back is when you think or say any of the following. That's just the way I am. I have bad luck. That's just the way things are. This is what always happens to me. And then you write, there are many alternative thoughts that are just as limiting. When these thoughts pop up, you have to call bullshit on them. Any of this kind of defeatist self-talk is what's keeping you in the loop and keeping you from seeing the miracles and unlocking the change in your life. So I just want to let you know, I mean, come on, keep going now. I'm going to let you speak. These are your words. And this is like what you've learned how to overcome.
Yeah. So those are sob stories, right? So I said like, oh, you know, I'm not going to be rich. Nobody in my family has ever been rich. Nobody in my family has ever had higher education. Both my parents were in prison. Like, I had all the reasons why, you know, I wasn't going to take it to another level. Like, why? Like, I'm doing good despite, like, doing good considering what I've been through, and this is good enough. But I still use that tool. And I'll tell you, like, just even recently, I was in Cancun with my partner, and I felt a little snub from him. And I got upset about it. And I said, I feel like I'm not important. And when this happened, right? And then he's like, okay, I didn't mean for that to happen. That's not, of course, my intention. But to me, it still was feeling that way. And I had a moment to myself and I checked myself, like, is this real? Am I not important to him? And then it's like, absolutely not real. You know, I'm like the most important person to him and he treats me amazing. And it was just some moment that triggered something from my past. And I busted it and we kept on going and had a perfect ending to a beautiful trip in Cancun. But before, I know that I have been in situations like that with previous partners where that was not the ending. It just became like a horrible fight, you know, where I felt like, you know, that I was being abandoned, you know. And there were things that are from my childhood that have nothing to do with the person that I'm with. You know, people are human and they're not always pleasant, but I made it like this bigger deal in the past where it did end up a lot of relationships.
I love this personal share Because I think a lot of times people, we look at our social media and like, you look gorgeous and pretty, and we're like going to list your bio. And I love that when we can own that it's still like, we're still a work in progress. And so whether or not I'm dealing with my patients or talking to inspirational people like you or collaborating, what you just talked about is like, we all have what I call our soul imprints. And I believe we have our material DNA that we can see and measure our labs, and we have our ethereal soul DNA. So you have now this new, I talk about the importance of awareness, self-love, and altruism. And you had this awareness on this Cancun trip, this awareness that you had a familiar feeling. And it just was, and then this familiar feeling you had, you asked the question, what percentage is this reality with this person or situation versus is this part of my trauma trigger from my past? So when we do that and we're in the moment of now, but we know what our triggers are because we all have them. I have mine, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you have this humility and then you can get closer. So did it make you and your partner get closer to each other when you can talk about this?
Totally. Totally understood that. Wow. You know, okay. Got to know me better, more human in the way of like, I'm vulnerable and sharing this. And I'll tell you something, it got worse before it got better. But I'll tell you that I'm so proud of myself because it didn't affect me in my body. I looked at it and said, let me deal with this outside my body, not in my body. And what I mean by that is like talking it through, like, is this real? You know, putting my hands in front of me and then like looking at my life and looking how committed he is to me and all the wonderful things that he does for me. And then, you know, kind of like the pros and cons kind of thing. And in reality, and like, it took me maybe like under 3 minutes to like realize that this is just a past trigger. And now I feel so much growth from that, that it didn't in the past, like my body would be impacted, right? Like the cells of my body. You know, whenever you're upset, anytime you're stressed, upset, your body thinks that you're in clear and present danger, right? It thinks it's like a fight or flight situation. And it goes into like this protection mode. And that depletes your immune system, right? Yes. So it behooves us to do this kind of work. Because I probably could be dead at 55, let's say, because of how much I used to get triggered. If I would have kept on having that kind of life, I'd be overweight. I'd be sick in many different ways and dead probably at 55. That's the MO of my family. Mm-hmm. I have no elderly family members. They've all dropped dead from heart attacks. They have diabetes. They have a lot of problems because they don't have healthy lifestyles. And I mean healthy beyond the healthy of like exercise and food. I mean like practicing meditation, practicing not getting angry, practicing love, right? We have gossip. We've had drama. Everything is very exaggerated. And all of those things take a toll on your body and deplete your immune system. And then when you're up against some diseases, well, guess what? You already used up, you know, a lot of your power that you had to deal with this imaginary threat that you had. And so that's pretty much the story of, at least I can tell you about my own family. My mom died at 64 of a heart attack. My dad died at 63, pneumonia. Too young to die. My uncle just died. Also, you know, just he was the oldest person in my family at 70. So this is, you know, something that I hope to teach to my family. And I see that they are looking and they're looking over the fence to see like, okay, what is she doing over there that she didn't get mad at me right now for what I just said. She didn't get offended, you know, when I thought like, literally,
can I do a sacred pause of everything you just said and sort of just elevate and then see what you think?
Yeah, please do.
So I just want to take a moment for everyone listening or who's going to listen to this, that Hazel is talking about multidimensional healing. She's talking about multigenerational healing. She's talking about breaking not only the genetics of, let's say we have predispositions, like if you talk in a family system of diabetes, high blood pressure, this, but she's talking about the power of healing yourself. And when she talks about Joe Dispenza, he's got an amazing book, and I'll put it in the show notes, You Are the Placebo. She's also, I want to talk about epigenetics, Bruce Lipton. So epigenetics is the power of turning on our own unique optimal health and well-being with our own genetic imprint. And Hazel's, I'm seeing her and I'm feeling her and I'm honoring her that this Latina influence of 2020, that's a title that we will discuss, but she's actually giving people who've had different types of trauma, different types of poverty. She's a living being example of going into the suffering and going from that crisis to thrive, but realizing we can turn on our own optimal health and well-being by changing our lifestyle, our holistic health, our nutrition, our fitness, our exercise, our version of prayer, forgiveness. And so I'm going to let you keep going, but you're living and being your truth, and you're an inspiration for so many that just feel trapped in poverty, trapped in trauma. So I just want to thank you. I know we're probably going to do more interviews in this one, but I want to make sure I really honor, like, I see you, I see your love, I see your inspiration.
Oh, thank you, Denise. I appreciate that.
Because it's not just about your title of Latina Influence 2020. It's not about all your amazing fiscal success. Like you've accessed another level of like pure love awareness. And I know people want to hear, I'd love to hear. I do want to, you talked about your specific, a couple of your businesses and stuff, because that's very important for people to hear. But you did the other work that I think made this ascension of yourself possible.
Yes. I'll tell you something that, it wasn't until I started working on myself and my relationships did I actually gain success. I was in business for 5 years, and I started my business in my garage. I didn't even have enough money to pay an office space. And when I worked from home, it wasn't now that everybody's, like a lot of people are working from home because of COVID. Back right. then, working from home meant that it was because you couldn't afford to go to pay for an office. So I was like one of the first ones that worked from home, and I converted my garage.
That's so ironic. Like now everyone wants to work for, like, it's like a lot, like, whoa, you can work from home. No. So go ahead. Let's hear the story. Can you just give us the story of your business and then your other businesses? Cause you really got the momentum once you had the secret sauce of gratitude and healing and abundance. It's really beautiful.
Well, what I do is what I did then and what I do now is I create the biggest dream I can, the biggest vision I can for whatever I'm doing. So what's the biggest vision for my business? So after 5 years of being in business, my business coach asked me, what is your big, hairy, audacious vision, dream for your business? And I said, I wanted it to be number one in California. After 5 years, I said that. And then she said, exactly. I want to be number one in California. I want to have multiple offices. And this is like, I can't even afford one office a night. Yes, I said I wanted 26 offices throughout California. And, you know, because the way it works, you just have to create the dream. What happens is that your brain starts to figure out that you can't afford it. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough staff. And so it makes you small. Well, what I did to be able to create a vision for my life is I asked myself, if I believe in God and I believe in miracles, then what is possible? And we haven't been programmed to make a miracle happen. So the way a miracle works is none of our business. Our brain does not try to figure that one out. So I say, if I believe in miracles, what is possible? If a miracle is supposed to happen in my business, what could happen? Well, you could have 500 clients a month. That's the miracle. You could have 26 offices. Great. If I believe in miracles, I could have 26 offices. If I believe in miracles, I could have a full staff of 50 people or more. If I believe in miracles, I could be a millionaire. So I said all those things. And because I said those things, my brain allowed me to see the vision of that. And I had miracles happen left and right. Denise, you won't believe this, okay? One of the
Pushy Angels. Thank you, Pushy Angels. I have to do a thank you shout out, Pushy Angels. I'll keep going.
Yes. And so then I put down that I want it to be the largest in California and I wanted 26 offices. So what's one thing that I could do that's the smallest thing towards everything that my business needed to grow? Well, one of the things I could do is I didn't know how much rent was throughout California. So I called places, leasing agents, you know, and asked for quotes on how much does it cost to lease an office, like a 300 square foot office. The smallest thing I could get, a closet, you know, mm-hmm. What's the lowest rent that I could pay? But I wanted to be represented in California. So I wanted an office in San Diego. I wanted one in Palm Springs. I wanted one, all throughout like North Hollywood. And
this was your counseling business, correct?
Yes, yeah, San Jose and, you know, all the way up north and all the way to San Diego border, all throughout San Francisco, an office. And so I started calling and I called one place that had 52 locations, kind of like those, you pay for space, like you could use it for 10 hours a month kind of thing. Regis, I think it's called.
Yes.
And they told me that they were $500 a month, right? 500 times 26 offices. Like I immediately like, oh my gosh, like the phone flew, you know, out of my hand, like how scary that was. And so then I called somebody else who is a vendor for me. He has 52 offices. And I said, hey, you know, could you ask your boss if I could use the office for like 10 hours a month, how much he would charge me? And he said, have you been calling around? And I said, yes. He goes, how much are you getting quoted? And I said, $500. Okay. Then the guy calls me back and he says, Hazel, my boss said he'll give it to you for $200. And even though it was a drastic discount, mm-hmm. $200 times 26 offices is mm-hmm. a lot of money. And then mm-hmm. he said, why don't you start with 10 offices and then grow to 26? And I said, let me think about it. Okay, so 10 offices at $200 a month was $2,000. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't afford that. There was no way. I could not afford that. So I never called the guy back. Then a couple of weeks later, he called me back and he said, hey, you haven't called me back. And I told him, you know what, honestly, that I can't afford it. I want to, but I can't afford it. And when I could afford it, I'll give you a call back. Mm-hmm. He said, okay, sure. Then he called me back and he says, Hazel, I talked to the owner. And he said that you're doing such good work that we're going to give you all the offices for free. Pick whatever you want.
What? 26 offices. So they researched you and saw what you were doing, what your mission was?
Well, they know me. They're a vendor. So okay. They're like, you know, you've been in business for 5 years. You do good work. You're one of the best, you know, counselors in the industry. You help your clients in, you know, in ways that you go above and beyond. We want to give you this, you know, for free.
Oh my goodness. Can you talk? They were inspired by your heart energy and how you were inspiring others to reach their educational successes, correct?
Yeah, exactly.
So then they were inspired by your inspiration. Can you just tell everyone a little bit about exactly what your counseling offices do so everyone gets that flavor of what inspired them? Because this is amazing.
Yes. So we have the largest counseling center in California. We specialize in vocational return to work counseling for people who are injured on the job, people who can't do their job anymore, people with disabilities, people who have a job loss due to an injury. And we help them find training that's appropriate for their disability, something that there's going to be a future employment in that, and something that they like. And most of the time, our efforts are geared towards encouraging and motivating people to even see something for themselves that they cannot. They come to us and they're older, they're disabled, and they're really like broken. They've been committed to their employer for 27 years, and then they get injured and the employer lets them go, even though they could possibly do the same job or they could do the job if they have some slight modification. The employers most of the time do not take them back. And people feel like they're not valued, that they're not important, and they're broken when they come to us. And so our job is to inspire them and believe in them and be pushy angels for them so that they can go back to school and change their lives. And that's what I did. I was injured on the job myself. The doctors told me I couldn't do my job anymore.
And what was your injury?
I have carpal tunnel, cubital okay. tunnel, which is like carpal tunnel, but it's in my elbows, and then mm-hmm. problems with my neck. So the doctors told me I couldn't be that the job that I had, which was a secretary. And then I had the attorney at the same time guiding me to be, you know, go to school. So now I knew that I definitely had to have a career, become a psychologist. I did. After the injury, I went full force and committed to becoming the school psychologist because I knew I couldn't do my job anymore. I had to do something different. And Denise, at the time, I was making $15 an hour, and I thought that that was as good as it gets for me. Honestly, if you had asked me, you know, what do you see for your future, I would have told you, and like I told the attorney, I could see myself here for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I actually, you know what I actually am feeling, and if this is okay with you, I almost would love to in the next couple of weeks like to do part two of this interview because I feel like we're or sooner. I mean, I know I have something, but like this part, I feel like this catalyst, this part of the story is like it's like you know when I was in India and you light the Buddha. I'm actually here in my office and I can see this picture where it's like the candles. Uh-huh. And once you light up one, it's just this ripple effect of kindness and inspiration. And like this, you've already shared pushy angel aha moments. And I'd like to just, your story is so amazing. Oh my gosh. Like, do you want to just kind of give us an idea of like what you're doing now and then come back for like part two? Because I can't even get enough of this. Like, because I feel like it's like there's so many more pushy angels to honor.
Yes, yes,
right.
So true. Yes,
because you
yes.
have so much that's so, and that's so. I also am making like a reverent pause because yeah. the people that you've already acknowledged in this interview and the magnitude of the trauma and the healing is so powerful. And I know people are going to want to know more of like the whys and like different business tips too, because that's fun. But is there anything you want to say about, I mean, this is like, wow. I mean, are you still in like awe of your own? I know it's not, this is coming from a, with integrity and humility, like, cause I believe that you believe in something greater than you, correct?
Most definitely I do. And I also believe that that greater thing that is bigger than everything is inside me. And inside you and inside every
yes.
one of us. Nobody's
yes.
missing it.
Yes, the divinity within all of us. It's like, I remember I was at the Dalai Lama's 80th birthday party that was given for him. You had to buy tickets. And he came here, I don't know if you knew about this, when he turned 80, he was in Anaheim because he heard about this amazing mayor, Thomas Tate, who had done like the Million Acts of Kindness Challenge for children. To see how that would change their abilities to not get detentions, ability to get along. And once His Holiness found out about it, he invited Thomas Tate to Dharamshala. And then they made such a nice relationship. They thought they were having lunch, but it turned into a 3-day getting to know each other. And what you're talking about, I saw at His Holiness' birthday party. There was all these like peacemakers, like of all different backgrounds. Inspiring mm-hmm. people that you, when you love yourself, it's like the Christ within, the Buddha within. And if you're not in belief of a higher power, your own higher self in service of being your own best friend. And they were having everyone shout. And what you just said is this realization that you are of divinity. There is so much self-love. And then with that self-love, I believe comes a responsibility of service to others. You know, when we're blessed, it's like another gift back to yourself, seeing someone else thrive.
Yes, exactly. And that's where I'm at now, where I want to make a difference in the world. And I did start a foundation called High Tide Global, like a high tide lifts all boats. And there's a lot of high tide these days, and we need to be the pushy angels that push that tide up for others as well. And that's what I'm up to right now. And we could pick that up from on our next interview.
Oh, I would love that. I'm getting chills. Yeah, I would love that, because the level of reverence and the level of people that you've met along the way, it's so important. And gosh, I'm so grateful to have this time with you today. And I'd love to schedule that in the next month. Is there other ways that people can find you? Like, tell everyone like where you're at right now and how they can learn more from you.
Yes, I have a free gift. You can go to my website, themasteryofmiracles.com. And it's a 4-minute vision exercise. And it has free downloadable worksheets where you can answer questions after the vision exercise and create a vision for your future, your 10 years from now. It's a great exercise. And then you could look around the website. I do have a, you know, Open Up to Miracles course, you know, for people to be able to do the work, like I said, you know, envision miracles in your life and then see them happen in real life.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So this just came to me as I was hearing your words. I am going to launch this interview on Valentine's Day. And the reason why is because I think we just did a show this week called, Find Your Love, like every day in every way. And I feel like this incredible story that you just shared with all of us about pushy angels is about self-care, self-love, and inspiration. So I feel like everyone can have like that feeling of Valentine's Day every day. So I want to launch it on Valentine's Day and tell everyone like, we love you. And like, thank you, Hazel. Thank you for this time today.
Oh my goodness. Thank you, Denise. Thank you for allowing me to share my story and hopefully improve somebody's life out there.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Smiles. Okay. Thanks everyone. We're going to get more of Hazel. Yay. Be a pushy angel. Oh.